We're studying a series of lessons of blessed assurance, lest we lose heart and lose faith. We're looking at some of the things. They're very basic, but they help us to renew our faith and restore our soul. And as we study God's Word, what God's Word assures us that we can take confidence in. And our first lesson, of course, was on God is and God loves me, and how that He has proven that. The second and the greatest love of all is for God to love the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And so therefore, number two lesson that we've been studying is that I can be confident because God's Word tells me that I can have peace with Him, I can have forgiveness of my sins, and the hope that that gives me. Okay, and so we were in finishing up 1 Corinthians 11, and examining ourselves as towards the attitude towards when we partake of the Lord's Supper, what the death of Christ means to us, and to actually examine myself and to rightly judge myself rightly, because I am lost, without hope, totally, you know, cannot expect to have life with God, separated from God, actually, you know, here and eternally without the blood of Christ and the faith in that and the hope that I can have. And also in 1 Corinthians 11, he deals with their attitude towards one another and how it affects, you know, and the responsibility that they had towards one another as they partook of the Lord's Supper. And as we worship together, we need to be mindful of how our proclaiming of our faith in a good way, an edifying way to our brethren, or is it by the lack of our devotion and our examining and the way we represent ourselves while we're doing that, are we actually causing them, you know, to take away from their worship? And so we need to be careful. We need to be thankful. We need to examine and discipline ourselves and to make sure that our hearts and our minds and our lives proclaim the faith that we have in the wonderful blood of Christ. And that brings us I wanted to read 1 Peter 2. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 2. Pat, would you read 1 Peter 2? Let's start with verse 5. Okay, and after verse 5, read 9 and 12 through 12.
1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, please.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. You behave excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Okay, and verse 24 and 25.
And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
Okay, and then let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, 15 through 17. Sharon, would you read that? Can you have it, please? 15 through 17.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Okay. It's just words of comfort. It tells us since we have become a people for God's own possession, we are to live in such a way as to glorify that name, and that it is through the blood of Christ that we obtain this royal priesthood and this great confidence that we can have. And that brings us then to the passage that I gave you. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's go over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Any comments on the verses that we read there? Okay. Hebrews, and this is on your sheet, 10. Okay. Verse 19 reads, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence. Okay, and he is just now. Let's go back up and catch the surrounding verses and everything. Verse 14: For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's set apart for holy use. We were just talking about that royal priesthood that he has wanted us in a spiritual house for God's own use. Okay. 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness. We talked about that earlier. To us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's the 23. Okay, did I give you? Okay. Now, so, in the lesson I gave you to read that passage, so that you could, you know, fill in those blanks and everything. What did you find? What are we looking for, and what are we assured of there?
Confidence.
We have boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus.
That we can have confidence to enter the holy place. Remember, under the old covenant, they had the holy place and the most holy place, and only the priest and the high priest could go in before God. God would meet them once a year between the cherubim over the mercy seat, or that they would go in and on the altar of incense, and they would go in and sprinkle the blood, and there they would the priest would confess the sins for himself and for the nation, and that's how they would go in to the presence of God. We, you know, and it's not just prayer. This is the boldness we can. It brings us to God. The blood of Jesus brings us to God. We can have the boldness to go to the throne of God. We can go there in full assurance before the Father, you know, because the blood of Christ cleanses us and allows us, not just in prayer, but in this royal priesthood role, you know, of His, okay? That He is our Father, we are His children, and that He has allowed us to enter that relationship with Him, just like the priest did under the old covenant. And Christ being the high priest, you know, has been able, and the sacrifice. Okay, you know, we don't need the blood of more sacrifices. It talks about once for all the blood of Jesus has done that, and that we can have confidence that we can approach the throne of God, and that our hearts are sprinkled with the blood. And that we have forgiveness, and that we have this relationship with and a clean conscience. It talks about conscience, that we don't have to be like David in his Psalms 51 about how his conscience, and he was in sin, and his body was wasting away, and he knew he needed forgiveness, you know. And so, and then what it's like then, in his Psalms like 32 and other Psalms that he writes, how blessed it is, and to have forgiveness, and our conscience can be wiped clean of that, so that we don't have the guilt of that any longer. Any thoughts pertaining to that, as you read? So, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And then this, the let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance. So he wants us to be confident in that. And to be his people, as we read. Okay, any thoughts on the questions before we look at the Psalms? We're going to just briefly look at those so that we can get into... into lesson three. I did want to look at the song Blessed Assurance, page 4. Let's turn our song books to that, please. Number 4, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And then there's, that's comforting. And when we sing, we should be thankful, you know, and our hearts should be grateful, but in full assurance that if we'd obey from the heart, form of doctrine, that Jesus, you know, bought with His blood, then we can have assurance in that, okay? And then it talks about, this is my story, this is my song. And then it talks about praising the Savior all the day long. Sometimes, you know, we might find ourselves really falling short in that. We get so caught up in the woes of this life and in the problems of this life that we don't stop to praise and to thank God for this more than life in this life blessing that we have. And then, verse 2, perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. I need, you know, why I picked this is because I need someone to tell me what that means. Because I don't, when I sing this, I just thought, you know, all of a sudden I'm starting to think, okay, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. What does that mean to someone? What should we be thinking about and singing with our hearts and praising God about? Anybody have any insight into this that I miss, that I don't understand? Angels descending, brain from above, echo of mercy, whispers of love. And the reason I bring it up is this. Sisters, if I don't know what I'm saying to the Lord and praising the Lord about, I better not do it. I need to understand what I'm saying. And I don't understand this. Does someone can help me? Because I want to be able to understand this.
It was the visions of rapture and the angel descending, just this sort of visual picture of what heaven is going to be like?
I don't know.
That's what I get out of. You know, get out of a vision of what it's going to be like up there in heaven, being with God and Christ and the angels, you know. That's what I get out of it.
I don't know about the angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. I don't recall angels doing any of that. They're messengers, but the apostles told us about the love. Angels did come and minister to Jesus in the garden. Angels did was at the grave and said that he had arose. I guess it was, you know. But I don't understand this, and so I fear that when, you know, it's not that it's a bad idea. I just don't understand. So therefore, I can't sing this because I can't understand what I'm either talking about. Okay, but perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. If it means that my soul, because I wrote down, it is well with my soul. I can have the peace and I can have the rest that Jesus, as long as I obey him and trust in his blood and trust in his word, and his blood keeps on cleanses me. That's why we study 1 John. And so if I keep on trusting in that, and if I, in this watching and waiting and looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Oh, that I, you know, that is a wonderful state to be in, you know. And I should pray that I allow myself, you know, to be in that blessed state. Okay? And that it is my story and it is my song. Any other thoughts on that? Because we can have blessed assurance. Any thoughts?
The only thing I can think of on verse 2, and I'll be honest, I've really not thought about it, but the only thing that comes to my mind is there was a time when God did do this. This was how God communicated. Abraham had angels come to him, and but he had to submit. He had to take the light. You know, just because God sent angels to him, he had not, you know. In fact, he was such a godly man that God told him, he did bring echoes of mercy. They did bring mercy and love because God talked to them and tried to save Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
God's love was shown in that, the fact that, okay, you know, what was it, got down to 5 or 10 people, but if you just find 5 people there, I'll save it. And so I don't know what the writer had in mind, but there are cases in Scripture where people with perfect submission had perfect delight, and they did have visions. And the word rapture, if we're not careful, the writer may very well have meant the rapture, like in the premillennial class
exactly.
We've been talking about, of course. But, and like I say, I don't know, but that is the
yes.
only thing that I could think of scripturally. There was a time when this happened, when these things happened.
And I know Jacob did see the angels up and down the ladder, okay, descending at that time.
And the shepherds, when Jesus,
yes.
And his birth.
Yes.
So unless that is what they're talking about, of, you know, people, you know, if we do have perfect submission, people in the past, this is how they receive things. So I don't know. I have no idea what the writer meant, but I guess that's what comes to my mind, is people of the past that this happened to. And so I can take comfort that if I have perfect submission,
yes,
I can be at rest and be blessed in the Savior.
Exactly.
Because we can take comfort in what God says based on what we have seen in the past. When you go back and just read the Old Testament, we're so impressed by God's love,
right,
and His patience and His kindness. And, you know, reading through the prophets and to the kings, and there at the end, you know, if he would have just, you know, Ezekiel said, find one watchman, find somebody. But nobody would take up the calls that Ezekiel was trying to get them to do. And
right,
they would not listen.
Right.
And so, but so that gives me assurance, yes, God's going to not only keep the things he says that are good, but he's going to keep the things that are bad also. So anyway, that's just a thought. I don't know. That was just off the top of my head. So.
Yeah. But, you know, it just brings us to the realization that when we worship the Lord, we do need to understand and to when we praise Him in song, that it is worship, and that we should understand. And when we're, and so many times it's promises, and that we need to know that we are vowing to God. Okay, nailed to the cross. This is page 158, a great song of comfort and of that just shows us in our song the great story of love, okay? It tells the gospel story. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. And it talks about him being patient with me and cleanses my heart of its dross. There's no condemnation. I know I am free. Remember in 1 John we talked about what you can know. And how you can know it, okay? For my sins are all nailed to the cross. And then, verse 3. Here's the promise. Here's the, I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I tell you, sometimes words like that get caught in my throat. And there is one song that there's just a couple of phrases in there. Because I never want to depart. I will do my best not to depart, but to vow to God, I will never leave you. Sutter gets stuck in my throat, you know, because I just, it is not beyond reason that I could fall from faith. We can't get too confident in ourselves and so puffed up in our past faithfulness that we cannot fall. But this is an acclamation of hope, surely, you know, and of this is what I will for my soul to do, okay? That I will joyfully journey each day with a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. And so, you know, if a person ever keeps in the forefront, and as we get into the lesson on prayer, it talks about continually praying, you know, having an attitude towards prayer and God and approach to God, that surely if our heart is that we will seek Him and that we will take advantage, and Christ's blood will keep on cleansing, because we will repent and we will confess and we will strive to follow His word. And so we can be assured that our sins are nailed to the cross, and that I do not have to, and that he's patient with me, like verse 2 says, and that I'm not standing condemned before the Father. Yes, Bobby.
Can we sing that verse in a figurative way? In other words, this would be very difficult for all of us to to joyfully journey each day. You know, we let care of the world, you know, pray upon us sometime. And this, song on my lips each day. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is more like we want this to be this way. We long for this. We wish this to be this way. But sometimes we fail.
We fail in that, and that's why we need, but maybe we need to strive for that, like you were saying, this is what I want my heart to be like, and help me God, help me God to be more like this, okay? But we do need to be careful what we promise and what we say, but there's a song on my lips and a song in my heart. Even when we're touched with the greatest sorrows in this life, we need to go to the base, go to the center. God loves me. Christ loves me. I have peace, and that brings us to 560. Yes. Yes.
One comment I would like to make on the verse you talked about. There is a fine line between being Peter, being overconfident, not after what everybody else does, I know what I have to do.
Right.
And being like Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I think sometimes we want to bend so much and not be like Peter that we don't have the assurance, yes, I'm going to do this. I can do this, and I will do this, like Joshua had. So while there's a fine line there and we don't want to be overconfident, I think sometimes we're weak in the fact that we don't have the confidence that we need to have. And so when we stumble, well, we have the excuse, we're just man. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fail. And we set ourselves up to fail because we don't have the attitude of today, I'm going to serve God no matter what I face. Mm-hmm. And that is an attitude we have to have because we are going to be faced with temptations and trials and things that of this world that will overcome us if we do not have the steadfast attitude as Joshua had.
Yes. Lord willing, our lesson 4 that we're going to be studying is, I can understand, I can grow, And so, so often we don't think that we can, I can be better. And and we can be assured of that because God says that we can, and He expects us to be, following up on the very good words that Pat said. Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Very good. Okay. 560. And we will just quickly go through this. It is well with my soul. What do you all think of when you sing this song? Just some thoughts.
Peace we have with God.
Peace that we have with God. Okay. And it's talking about trials in this life. It's talking about Satan, being active, and trying to, there's war. He's at war with us. And trials come, but let this blessed assurance control, verse 2, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Okay? And then he talks about the hope that comes, some can, with clear conscience, sing about Lord haste the day. Okay, verse 4, when faith shall be sight. Some have a little bit more trouble with those kinds of phrases, okay, or the Lord is coming soon, or those kinds of things. We have to determine in our own conscience what we are saying and what we mean in our heart to God, you know, about those things. But the truth is, the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend, and even so, even when the Lord descends and calls his own home, it will be well with my soul. I don't have to face the judge without confidence. Yes, Pat? Anything? Okay. Oh, okay. It is well with my soul.
The only thing I will say is I'm one of the people that has trouble singing, wanting the Lord to come soon, hurry up,
yeah.
Because I have loved ones who are not serving God.
Me too.
And I want God to give them more time. I pray every day that God grants them time and that something will happen in their life. Now, if the Lord comes, I'm going to be happy about that. That's his decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I do ask him to give them time. And how can I ask him in my prayer to give them time and then sing to him, hurry up and come? There's a contradiction there.
Right.
In my mind.
Mine too, because, you know, he's patient, but his will be done. Every prayer, every song, it's your will be done. Okay? And it will. He will come when he will come. Christ came when God chose for the time for him to come, you know. The prophets looked into it, you know, and all that. They wanted to know. And it was many, many, many years after the promise to Abraham. But God worked in his time. And so, but just to have the confidence, no matter what, whatever, it says sorrows like sea billows roll. Okay. This man evidently wrote this song, the story goes, after he had lost his wife and children. And he wrote this song, okay, that it's well. He felt the peace in his soul that although things in this life are whatever the devil will throw at him, that if you trust in the blood of Jesus and trust in his word and the gospel, that it is well with him. Even death. Okay. The love of God, we are familiar with that song. I don't think we need to look at that for time's sake. I do want to look at 65 quickly. Because it is a prayer. We were talking about what we say to God and even in our songs. And this is a prayer. And as lesson 3 says, we can have confidence is the very first part, if you've studied that, says that he will listen to the prayers of the upright or the righteous. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret. Help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. What a prayer. Look what we're asking of God. And he loves us, and he promises to hear us. And he says, tell me thy secret. Where are we going to go? In lesson 1, we talked about the Word of God, Psalm 19. Help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. We can read his Word. We can get comfort from his Word. We can get patience from his Word. We can get instruction from his Word. We can get everything that we need to deal with the toils and the frets. And it tells us even, don't be anxious. We're going to look at that in the next lesson, Lord willing. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. To say that, do we follow through with it? You know, are we going to talk to others about the love of Christ? Are we going, if it's just our children, our spouses, just in conversation, or someone that we have in our acquaintances that may just need a word of telling them about God's love for them, you know, that might lead into a study or something, or to encourage them. It says, teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Parents, I'm sure, you know, pray this so often, you know, in their prayers, not maybe in this word, but in, you know, give me wisdom. What am I going to do in this circumstance? And help me deal with this situation. Give me strength. You know, and sometimes it is just give me the strength to just see this through and let me do what's right. Okay. Sometimes we just have to get down to that. Teach me patience. Okay. And closer, dear company in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live. Okay, let me live.
We don't have that in our book.
Oh, we
do. We don't sing it.
Yeah.
It's a real old song. I sang that when I was a kid.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was trying to pick songs that we sing here. There are some wonderful thoughts in some of the other songs in this book. But we sing this, and I just want to have us bring our heart, be attuned to the fact that this is a prayer to God, and what we're asking and what we're saying, you know, with thee, O Master, let me live. That is our every prayer, isn't it? You know, not only live in this life with him, but here in the hereafter. Okay? And then there's Living for Jesus and all these wonderful songs that we sing, because we have the right to do that only through the blood of Jesus, if we find ourselves trusting in that blood and striving every day to live closer to him. Any comments? Any questions? I thought for sure we'd get into lesson 3, but Lord willing, we will get, God hears. We can have confidence. God hears and answers my prayers. Okay? It's a great blessing. It's a great comfort. Okay?
We only have one more week and then we'll have spring break.
Yes.